This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's continue our conversation. Prosecutors allege Celeste walked into David Burke's Hollywood Hills home on April 23rd, 2025, and was never heard from again. Her dismembered remains turned up months later in his Tesla. In between, Burke reportedly made middle of the night trip to a remote spot in Santa Barbara, performed at Coachella, you know, like you do after someone's missing or dead in your presence, released a debut album, or was about to, and launched a world tour, including a show in Minneapolis the same night her body was found in Los Angeles. The charges are brutal, but the thing that eats at people is the silence, the months of normal, the people who knew him and said nothing, and the question nobody can shake: how? And let's get into this. He was on stage in Minneapolis the night her body was found in the trunk in LA. Months of shows, smiling, performing his love songs. I think that's the interesting thing. We were just talking in our last segment about this way of thinking, about the compartmentalization that people of this age seem to have, because it's just the atmosphere of which they grow up in, especially if it's mainly online, the lack of depth. When also you have the lack of depth, I think you also seem to lack the ability to understand the weight of the events that are going on around you. And I think that's what might be what we're seeing in this case as well, where he's on stage in Minneapolis, they're finding a body in his frunk, and it's just another normal Tuesday for him. I mean, it seems that there's a level of numbness, if you will, to reality that so many young narcissists seem to have, where it's just body in your trunk is about as important to know that as the McRib is back at McDonald's. It's like it's the same level of weight, and it obviously should not be. But if you don't naturally have the ability to experience that weight, to feel the weight of those being two very different things in life, how do you develop that? I mean, that really is the recipe for a psychopath if you're not able to differentiate between something like that.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. And it also reminded me of the amount of compartmentalization that we see with serial killers who can, you know, do something absolutely horrendous and then go to church the next day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, how does a person compartmentalize like that? And yes, it's very concerning that this person can do that. I mean, just the dismemberment of a body, you know, that I always, just a little game I play in my mind when I look at criminals. It's like, can I ever imagine myself doing this, right? Can I even wrap my head around it? And I have always thought, could I kill another human being? Certainly not something I think about or fantasize about. But I think, yes, if somebody were breaking in my house, someone threatening my children, could I do something to end their life? I think I could. But would it ever occur to me to dismember their body? Ever?
Yeah.
Is that something I can even wrap my head around, somebody who would be okay with that, whether he did it himself or had someone else do it? You're dealing with somebody with some very, very concerning personality traits,
you know,
there.
And these are very extremely really salient points to bring up, because even so, here I am, former Marine and FBI. The amount of training you go through to take someone else's life potentially is pretty robust. Going through deadly force policies, going through rules of engagement of war. And every single time you're faced with these things, you're always someone with great deep empathy, because if you're in a life of service, which is what I've been in my entire life, is you're serving and protecting, which might mean you have to do horrendous things to other human beings. Even as they're horrendous human beings, the thought and the weight of even having to do that potentially weighs on you. The counseling that you go through afterwards. I mean, I'm getting a dry mouth just thinking about it. I mean, just the tremendous impact of you as an individual, because you actually have empathy. You don't have an ability to compartmentalize it, because you are a regular human being serving other human beings, is tremendous. And so being able to do these things so compartmentalized like he did, or anyone in that circle did, whoever did this, It's absolutely insane to think that this is normal human behavior, because it's not even close. And the thing, you know, we're so stuck on cults right now. It is so cult-like, you know, with the Duggars, the same kind of compartmentalization that you can completely abuse and have in your close society and system, this abuse of another human being, underage human being, and being able to try to move on from life and diminishing it and rationalizing it. It rings so similarly to all these other horrendous crimes. And the last thing I want to say on this is, in the music industry, there are some really, there's some great people, and there's horrendous people as well. And I remember years ago, I'm a country music fan, and I'll never forget, I was so impacted by Sugarland, Jennifer Nettles. Years ago, I remember when their stage collapsed and some of their fans got injured, right? That's the last time we saw Jennifer Nettles in Sugarland for a very, very long time. It was crushing to them, the impact of even just that on their fans. That's what empathy is. Now, granted, there might have been a lot of things in there and lawsuits and all that, but I don't know. But just the impact, you saw the emotional impact of even just them performing and the injury to fans did to them personally. And here you're seeing the same thing play out with completely back-asswards results.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
I remember that. I was working in country radio at the time.
Wasn't it impactful?
Yeah, I mean,
you saw how crushed he was.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a while back, but yeah, I do remember that. What I'm trying to think about here with David and this idea, they're bringing up in the charging docs that Burke made a late night drive to a remote area of Santa Barbara in the spring of 2025. Of course, like we've been saying, the charges include mutilation of the remains. We don't know if that drive had something to do with it. If it did, if it didn't, it's really kind of besides the point. I don't know what's more disturbing. The fact that it appears her remains were cut up out of convenience to fit into a frunk, or out of contempt because she was going to expose him. I don't know what's more disturbing here to think of how he was looking at this, allegedly, you know, if he's the one who did it. This is, well, it's, we got to fit it in here, so it's basically human Tetris, you know, or it's, I hate you, you're going to expose me, and I'm, you know, I guess this is my saw motion, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, think of, like, I don't know, whatever somebody's doing with a saw. Maybe they're using a saw. I don't know. But that's, maybe it's a combination of both that's going on here. But the fact that it's just such an easy lever to pull, I guess, is the most disturbing part of it, no matter what the reasoning is behind it.
Yeah, I think it can go either way. There are probably cases where it's just a matter of convenience, but still, you'd have to be pretty psychopathic to even think that way.
Yeah.
But there are certainly times when it's motivated more by rage, and the person actually gets pleasure from mutilating the body, which is also something you see with sadistic people who are serial killers. They get pleasure from the mutilation, which is, yeah, really disturbing.
That just, like, doesn't that just go against, like, all everything of humanity? I mean, would that same person find, like, the smell of a rotting flesh to be like, oh, fresh baked cookies? I mean, the rest of us are throwing up, you know, the second we get a whiff of something like that. They're like, ah, this is great. I mean, it seems to go so much against humanity in general.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm so with you on this, Tony, because, I mean, think about this. Again, what Siobhan said is I do the same thing, and that you try to place yourself in that person's shoes, and that's how we have these deep empathies, so you can start hopefully predicting behavior to prevent horrendous things like this. And so think about this. So here they are. So let's say, let's for argument say it's an accidental death. It wasn't done out of rage. You know, so we're going to say this was an accidental death, and that they had a panic escalation, and this was their decision-making process. How stupid is that, right? But so think about this. If you are an empathetic human being that actually gave a rat's ass about anyone else other than yourself, and you're faced with this kind of situation, and your initial impulse is to, oh my God, a panic escalation. And you're thinking, not thinking, you say, I got to hide the body, got to get rid of the body. And you try to stuff her into a frunk of a Tesla. And we know Jennifer Coffendeffer tried this, and she could see you can't fit. You got to do something to it. Here's the first thought you have is not how to make the body fit. the first impression you have, if you actually have reason, oh, this whole thing doesn't sound reasonable anyway, but is, I got to find another way mm-hmm. instead of cutting up the body. Because if you, I mean, just, that just makes no sense to do that whatsoever, unless, to Siobhan's point, is you are actually pure psychopathic, that you have zero empathy, that this is just a tool, a screwdriver in your life that you said, I no longer have use for it. We got to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, that really, that's the only way you can, I think, function that way, is if you're looking at that, you know, you're looking at Celeste's body as nothing more than something of value, like a lint whirler. It's like, well, I got to fit this somewhere. Well, if I take it apart, you know, then it can, I can do that. It's a lint roller. It doesn't have feelings. I have no empathy for it. If I have to dismantle it to fit it into a bag or something, I can do it. It's not going to hurt me. But if you're having that same sort of feeling about a human being, that's...
And Siobhan, so how much time would it take for the prefrontal lobe and the emotional hijacking to flood back out again? In other words, wouldn't there be enough time when you're actually thinking about how I got to now dismember this body to make it fit the frunk, where you actually, by the time you actually start getting the tools arranged and everything, if it wasn't premeditated, to say, oh, dude, that's a bad idea. See what I mean? So in other words... This if it was a panic escalation to think I should do this, by the time you actually got to the point of doing it, if you weren't actually a true nutter, you'd say, oh, that's not a really good idea.
That's not a good idea. It wouldn't be the automatic response unless you had your saw ready, right? It's like, you know, you've done this before, so you've got the tools and you know how to do it. Yeah, he had to ponder this a bit, and obviously... You know, is this an IQ test for, you know?
They thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, and then to just put the body in the, is it thrunk that we're calling it?
Frunk.
Okay. Put it in the frunk and then just move the car around the town. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that either. While you're going out and doing musical performances and know that your Tesla registered to you is just parked with a body in it and changing locations every so often. Yeah, this is not a thinking person.
It's like intelligent in so many ways over here, but then over here in functional ways, not existent.
Not
existent at all. Yeah. Let's talk about his parents a little bit. And I saw in the comments too, somebody said, hey, we were talking about her parents. Let's talk about his. Let's. Burke's parents went to court in Texas trying to block their own subpoenas. Siobhan, I mean, you've sat across from families of people accused of the worst things imaginable. When a family fights that hard to not answer questions, is that love? Is that denial? Is that something else? What do you think is going? Is it self-preservation of we're not going to get ourselves deeper into this than we already are? I mean, what the hell is going on when you're going to whatever lengths possible to not have to be accountable in any way, shape, or form when someone's life has been stolen from them and your son is the one that they're looking at?
I think all of the above from what you said, their version of love very likely is more my perfect child can't have done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And if he did, they justify it. And they're going to do everything they can to try to, you know, keep the case from progressing and get in the way of it. But that's also the kind of parenting that produces narcissists, you know, that I will do anything to protect my kid. Which I another thing I can't wrap my head around, you know.
Yeah. Do you think, I know that reports are he comes from a pretty religious family and religious background. Do you think any of that played into it?
That's a really interesting factor, because I would love to know what religion looked like for them, as we've talked so much about all the different ways religion can manifest. And there are... certain forms of religion, you know, I think of the prosperity gospel people, which is very much focused on, you know, getting all those blessings and earning all that money and you're special, you know. So there are narcissistic manifestations of religion. And certainly I would guess they were not Southern Baptists, you know, they were not into the service, you know, that you are here to serve and you're not special and you're a sinner and own that. My guess, it would be a very different flavor of religion. Or again, do they just really compartmentalize well?
Yeah, and what's their interpretation of what they're taken into? You know,
exactly.
I mean, as we learn more and more, as we cover so many cases of different religiosity, you have like the religion, and then you got the version of it that's being pitched within the home itself. Right. And sometimes that's even far worse or more bizarre or whatever than the actual one. So, I mean, that's a question only they would know on the inside. But it certainly is an interesting angle of the recipe that made David Anthony Burke. Your questions in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We are going to continue to try and get through them. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of it. Siobhan's latest book, Nightbird, available wherever you get books. Highly recommend. Go and check this out, especially her stories of escaping extreme religiosity and surviving it and thriving and helping so many people along the way. This is
I'm actually listening to it for a second time.
You are?
I am. There's a lot in there. I mean, there's a lot in there. And there's because of Siobhan's upbringing, her background, you know, I think in the world of us in true crime covering cults and cult mentalities and everything, Siobhan's insights are really powerful in that book. I'm an Audible guy and listen to Siobhan go through this twice, I'm capturing more, even more a second time. So again, thanks you, Siobhan, for doing that.
Definitely. Go and check that out.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U.
Did you say someone got shot?
November 2006, a college football star on his way to NFL dreams, gunned down in broad daylight.
Just bawling, crying, and he said, "Coach, they killed him."
No weapon, missing witnesses, conflicting accounts, and for years, no arrest.
She insinuated that the Miami PD had done nothing, and it became a little bit more accusatory.
The case goes cold, rumors spread, and the truth gets buried. Until now.
His world could come crashing down, according to him. It was over.
The ending, something no one saw coming, because this story isn't over yet. From ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, this is Murder at the U. Binge the full season right now, wherever you get your podcasts.